Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder. Today we'll be discussing the lessons that we can learn from several kinos, starting with kina 19. This kina expresses how we didn't appreciate everything Hashem had done for us. Each verse starts by listing a positive action of Hashem, where he provided for us, helped us, or protected us. The second half of each verse shows how we were shameful in the way that we behaved. It wasn't simply that we didn't appreciate the good that Hashem did for us. It was much worse than that. Our actions represented the ultimate disgrace, and that we actually repaid Hashem's kindness with wrongdoing. One example the kina gives is how Hashem appeared before us at Har Sinai, and we witnessed his holiness, which is something no other nation will ever experience. Our response to this special event was indeed shameful, when just 40 days later, we betrayed Hashem by making a golden calf. Another example is how Hashem nourished us with man during our time in the desert. Our reaction was not only to take these provisions for granted, but to even complain about this heavenly food. How shameful our actions were. From our perspective now, looking back at Bnei Israel's behavior, it's easy to see how ungrateful they were for everything Hashem had done for them. But are we really so different? Do we appreciate what Hashem does for us, or do we take those things for granted? Ask yourself this question. If someone offered you $1 million for both of your eyes, meaning that you would be blind, would you agree? Of course not. Think about what this signifies. It means that you possess something that you consider to be worth $1 million. And that's just your eyes. What about all of your other body parts? And then there are the people in your life and the possessions that you own. How much time do we spend appreciating these things? Or do we focus instead on what we don't have? How can we combat our lack of appreciation? Here's one way that psychologists recommend to bring gratitude to your day. Each morning, before you get out of bed, take a moment to feel grateful. Think about three things that you are blessed to have in your life and give thanks for those things. This will help you start your day with a positive mindset. Do this again before you close your eyes at night, finding three things in your day that you're grateful to have experienced, even something small. This might seem like an insignificant exercise, but it will help train your mind to find the good in your life. There was a tzaddik who was known for thanking Hashem for every small bit of goodness that he experienced. If he dropped a glass bottle but it didn't break, he would thank Hashem. If he walked through a dangerous area and was unharmed, he thanked Hashem. He realized that everything that happens is from Hashem, and therefore he showed appreciation for all good things, big or small. There are many ways that we can apply this to our daily lives. If we are running late in the morning but still manage to make it to work on time, we can thank Hashem. If we find a parking spot on a very crowded street, we can thank Hashem. Of course, there are so many more examples. When we notice the good in our lives, we feel better, happier, and more content. Amazingly, once you begin to take note of the things that you're grateful for, you lose sight of the things that you're lacking. You start to count your blessings instead of your problems. We'll continue with kina 21. It begins with the words Arzei Havanon and is one of the saddest kinos. It's about the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10 great rabbis who were brutally tortured and killed by the Roman government. This kina is similar to the Ela Eskara Tzvila that we say on Yom Kippur. Although the 10 martyrs are mentioned together in this kina, their deaths were not contemporaneous, but rather happened over several years. The first two of these executions were carried out at the time of Harban Bayasheni. The others were committed during the persecution that took place in the years that followed. Hearing about the terrible brutality that these rabbis had to endure is heart-wrenching. But there's also an important message for us to learn. There's a medrash that tells of the events that led to these killings. A Roman emperor summoned Jewish sages and asked them, "What's the punishment prescribed in the Torah for a person who kidnaps someone and sells him into slavery?" The sages replied that Jewish law requires that the kidnapper be put to death. The emperor then noted that the 10 brothers who had kidnapped and sold Yosef were never punished. He continued that he would avenge that sin by killing 10 Jewish sages. Those were the 10 martyrs spoken about in this kina. This story raises an obvious theological question. How is it fair for these sages to pay the price for the misdeeds of their ancestors? Don't we have a principle that the sins of the father aren't visited on the son? Our rabbis answer that this is true only when the son doesn't perpetuate the father's sin. However, descendants do bear the sins of their ancestors if they continue the prior transgressions. In this case, the sin the Shvatim committed against Yosef was sin aschinam, baseless hatred. That same sin was still being perpetrated at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it was the reason for the Harban. The 10 martyrs were sages who were responsible for the members of their generation. They failed to rid the Jewish people of sin aschinam, instead allowing them to continue acting with the same unwarranted hatred that the 10 brothers had for Yosef. How can we combat this terrible avera of sin aschinam? Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh that just as the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed due to sin aschinam, baseless hatred, it will be rebuilt if we practice ahava aschinam, baseless love. This type of ahava requires us to act with kindness and compassion towards everyone. It means thinking about how our actions impact other people, trying to ease the burden of others, and looking for opportunities to do chesed. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells a beautiful story that exemplifies this type of Ahavas Yisrael. It was the first Pesach during COVID, and an elderly widow was going to be alone for her Pesach Seder. Luckily, her neighbor suggested that she leave her door open on Seder night, and they would keep their door open as well. This way, she could read the Haggadah along with their family and feel part of their Seder. And that's what they did. When Yom Tov was over, the old woman received a call from her son asking how the Sederim were for her. She answered that they went surprisingly well. Not only had the neighbors conducted a lovely Seder, but they sang the songs that she was familiar with, the same tunes that their family had always used. It had brought her many warm, happy memories. The son answered that this didn't surprise him. He explained that before Yom Tov, the neighbor had called him and asked what tunes they sang at their family Sederim. They knew that this Pesach would be hard for the widow, and so as much as possible, they wanted to make her feel at home. This is the epitome of Ahavas Yisrael. We too can look for opportunities to help others and improve their lives, thereby bringing more Ahavas Yisrael into the world. We'll move on to Kinah 22, which is the first of four kinos that describe the devastation of Jewish communities during the First Crusade. These massacres are remembered on Tisha B'Av for several reasons. One is that the loss of the Beis HaMikdash is considered the source of all tragedies that happened to the Jewish people. The Beis HaMikdash provided an intimate relationship between Hashem and the Jews, which included Hashem protecting us. With the Harban, that safeguard vanished, and the Jewish people suffered through the ensuing brutality. Therefore, Tisha B'Av is an appropriate time to mention other calamities. Another reason for commemorating the First Crusade on Tisha B'Av is that Chazal determined that additional fast days shouldn't be added to the Jewish calendar to commemorate new tragedies that we suffer. Instead, Tisha B'Av is the designated day to lament all misfortunes that have befallen the Jewish people. There's yet another reason why we recite kinos about the massacres of the First Crusade on Tisha B'Av. There were many learned Torah scholars who perished during this time. Their loss is considered comparable to the Harban. The sacredness of the Beis HaMikdash comes from the Shechina of Hashem that rests there. Chazal teach us that the same holds true for tzaddikim. They are imbued with the spirituality of Hashem through their vast Torah knowledge and observance of mitzvos. Therefore, their death is equivalent to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. To have any appreciation of what was lost during the First Crusade, it's important to understand the greatness of the communities that were targeted by the Crusaders. At the end of the 11th century, Germany was the epicenter of Torah learning. It contained many yeshivos with distinguished Gedolei Yisrael. We know that Rashi, who was born in France, had gone to Worms, Germany, to study from the Talmidei Chachamim there, because this city and others in Germany were the headquarters of Torah scholarship. All of that ended starting in the year 1096. When the Crusaders marched in, they annihilated entire Jewish communities. The greatest Torah sages of the time were slaughtered. Shuls and yeshivas were burned to the ground. the Jews in those communities face savagery and carnage. Kinah 25 has the same theme of the massacring of Jewish communities during the First Crusade. Three communities in Germany are mentioned explicitly in this Kinah, although there were many more Jewish cities that were ravaged and destroyed at this time. This Kinah explicitly states that it isn't proper to add a day of lamenting and fasting for these tragedies. Instead, Tisha B'Av was meant as the day to grieve and wail over all Jewish calamities. We can apply this same reasoning to the massacre that happened in Eretz Yisrael on October 7th. Tisha B'Av is certainly an appropriate time to review the shocking, violent events of that day. In fact, Rav Rimon wrote a kinah about that horrific day to be recited on Tisha B'Av. I'm sure some communities will be incorporating that kinah into our liturgy. Hopefully, this will be the last kinah that needs to be written, and that Hashem will speedily bring the redemption. Tomorrow, I'll be sharing some beautiful stories that show the importance of looking at things from another person's perspective and having empathy for what others are going through. I hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This year is dedicated Le'iloi Nishmos Paraleia Bas Shlomo David and Shaul Ben Baruch. Rabbi Peggy Weiss was nifteret on Ches Tishrei, 2014. Rabbi Saul Weiss was nifter Dalet Siv on 2019. In the merit of our learning, my parents' neshama should have an aliyah.